T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, and a bunch of other stuff. What's up, Tony?
Hang glider.
Okay, you can add that to the list now, hang glider.
I can't say it. I can't add it to the list, honestly, but I just want to add it to the list.
Maybe it's on the bucket list?
Sure.
Okay, cool. And to my left here, you can't see, but it is Will Schmidt, and he's sitting in a tank top, looking all brown and chiseled in his white tank top today.
Hi.
We're glad Will's here today. We have a question for him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I hope I have an answer.
What's lithium or a taint?
Oh, man. You guys.
Will is a gym guy. He works in the gym. He's a trainer. And so, Kenna and I have a gym question.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I might know the answer. You can help us out. Kenna had a problem in the gym today, where she was dry heaving and gagging. And so did Nina and some of the other girls. So what do you do when someone smells like a homeless person, but they're in... Not that I have anything against homeless people.
Did Kenna smell like a homeless person, too?
No,
I might have been a little stinky, but this was like overstink.
And you were dry heaving?
No, it was because of the guy. There's a guy that he always...
Oh, because of the smell. Oh, okay. I thought Kenna was dry heaving and smell. I was like, she sounds like an alcoholic.
Yeah. No, I was about to vomit, and I nearly did a couple of times in my mouth because his smell was so bad. And how do you tell somebody at a gym where you're supposed to sweat?
Man.
But there's etiquette to that, so how do you handle that?
Well, you have, they usually have, vitamin waters in the lockers or Kool-Aid, right? So you drink one really fast, and then the next time he makes you dry heave, you just on him. Because it won't be dry. It'll be just splurred all over him, and then he'll have to go take a shower.
Yeah, he drives. I know what car he drives. I was thinking about putting a note on his car, like, hey, dude, you smell, put on some deodorant.
It's a passive, that's a mean way. He might take offense, but if he has vomit Kool-Aid all over him,
that's
he's going to be like, I got to take a shower.
I'm so sorry, you smell so bad, I vomited.
You can say that. Yeah, but he's going to get the hint every time he comes in and smells and you vomit Kool-Aid on him. Eventually, just through that Pavlov's Law, you're going to get a different result.
What is that scent? I mean, I know it's toxins leaving our body and stuff, but
with this guy, though, it kind of smells like his shirts have never been washed. It kind of smells like they just accumulate whatever he sweated onto it. And then when he comes back, he wears it again.
It could be just, poor hygiene, repeat performance, gym shirt thing. But if you guys ever saw this one awesome documentary called The Science of Attraction, they do this gym shirt experiment where they have girls smell guys' shirts and guys smell girls' shirts after they sweat in them. And they found that, the healthier the guy's immune system is, the less pungent the smell. You can still smell that it's like a guy. It's the bacteria on our skin that create the smell. So, their ferments is what we actually smell. So, if you have a strong immune system, you have healthy bacteria on your skin, and it creates a particular, musk. But if you have, a weak immune system, it's super stank.
Hmm.
So, what we learned from that is that if you stink... Wear a purple shirt because Ken is going to drink Kool-Aid and vomit on it.
Exactly. I have been told before by several people that gingers have a certain scent to them. Like where we live, we just have a certain odor. And I don't know. Is that true?
I don't know.
I can't smell it on me.
You're the only ginger I associate with. I don't have a...
All right. Okay. Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com.
Audible.com.
Woohoo! Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And every time we say Audible.com, we get $100.
Audible.com.
Audible.com. Audible.com. Audible.com. Audible.com.
So maybe we should have a show today, I guess?
About smell. Or we could change the show to smell. We won't have any questions. I'll just come up with about 20.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great.
It's funny, though. The guy who made a lot of insight about mental health that I'm sure we'll talk about was actually studying smell when he discovered his key insights about psychiatric health.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and George Watson.
In nature and stuff, animals sniff on each other.
Yeah.
And we smell people, and I guess pheromones or whatever we're putting off, that's chemistry, right? If you like somebody's scent, you're attracted to them.
That is, but the guy I was mentioning is a guy named Dr. George Watson, who wrote a book called Nutrition in Your Mind, which is a ton about what we'll probably talk about today with mental health and emotional stability, mental performance, and energy production. But he found, he discovered his stuff on accident while he was doing like paid research to study the effects of different vitamins and nutrients on the sense of smell. And he started to notice people having intense psychological reactions to different nutrients.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like when people find stuff by accident.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, if you haven't followed us on Facebook yet, you need to drop everything you're doing because we're going to have wonderful discussions about BO and stuff like that. So
you would have missed that.
Yeah, exactly. Go to our Facebook page and like us at Kick It in the Nuts, and we're going to post topics there every week about future shows, and you guys can post any questions you want us to cover in the show. And we'll try.
Yeah. Like all the questions that you'll hear today are from people on Facebook.
On Facebook,
that ask,
exactly.
Or ones we made up to make ourselves
made up. Yeah, yeah, or we made them up. Yeah. But yeah, they come from Facebook. And today we're actually going to be talking about bipolar disorder.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, this is, I think we've all met people, or we might be people that suffer from this. You know, I might be. You know, it's still up in the air.
Uh-huh. You know, I think one thing that, and we'll hear some of the people today that, you know, I think people that are dealing with the issue get upset because it's so easy to use a bipolar joke. Anytime someone's upset with you, they're like, what are you, bipolar, you know, and they just make a joke out of it. And if you're
kinda
really...
like, what are you, on your period?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of that kind of thing. But that's a true thing. Oh, no, that's not. We're not allowed to do that. No. I have a book on menstrual cramps, so I'm allowed to talk about the menstrual cycle.
Says the man with no uterus or ovaries.
But I don't get cramps, so I must know what I'm talking about.
Ever.
Okay, but so, you know, it's important to understand that, you know, if a person is dealing with a bipolar issue, it's like affecting their whole life. It's ruining a lot of situations. Yeah, and everybody around them as well, too. So it really is, you know, if it's not something that you're dealing with, you just can't understand. You just don't get it because it's a big deal. And when someone can improve those issues, it changes their whole life big time. So that's what we're going to kind of talk about.
Cool.
That.
All right. Yeah, mental illness isn't fun. My sister, who passed away, she was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, bipolar, manic depressed. She's in and out of institutions on every kind of, you know, lithium, everything. And it just, you know, her life was like a living hell, and she made everybody else's life a living hell.
And that's what her life was. I mean, that was had to be what her, like her job or whatever, you know, that's consumed everything that she did. And I think that we see that with a lot of people, and we'll hear from people today saying similar things to them too. So I think just to give a kind of broad overview of what we want to look at, we really need to look at, you know, basically what is bipolar. And when you look at all the medical diagnosis stuff and all the literature out there, it's not like, I really like type 2 diabetes because you can
diagnose it.
I like it. I think it's cool.
Okay, cool.
Because you diagnose it off of a number. You know, they can test a fasting glucose, and if it's over 128, so many days a week, then a lot of doctors will diagnose that person as type 2 diabetic. So it's not so subjective. You know, with things like bipolar, it's, you know, it's like, okay, you love everybody one minute, and then you're a jackass and hate everybody the next minute.
See, that's me.
Right, and they want to call that, like, you know, a disease, and it is an issue that a lot of people deal with, but we want to understand why that happens, because a lot of times people will have this issue that's ruining their whole life, but, you know, I don't know how much a diagnosis really helps that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing, because once you have the diagnosis, that's in your head too. Right. It's like in your head, you can't get it out of your head. Maybe you weren't bipolar, but now you think you're bipolar. So now, I mean, if you think it and you believe it, you are, you know, kind of thing. So.
Right. And at the same time though, people that are just wondering, is it every Thursday? I'm hateful, you know, and they're very confused about it. If they get diagnosed, and of course they're going to be put on meds 90% of the time, those meds may create reactions that help them in certain situations, and we'll talk about why. But that could be beneficial to them. They could improve their life that way. So in that regard, a diagnosis can help somebody. But
you're still kicking your liver, you know,
with the meds.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
But let's look at why this happens. Why would a person be great 1 minute and horrible the next, and it doesn't have to be from minute to minute. They give diagnoses to people that are happy part of the year and sad another part of the year. You know, it can be a broader situation than
screw
just,
you, Tony.
Well, right, it doesn't have to be like that. So let's look at why that would happen. So when we do that, the good analogy that I like to look at is that try not eating anything for 3 or 4 days. And see how friendly you are. See how happy you are. I mean, haven't you ever been in a situation whether you were either sick or... I mean, we've all been a jackass at one point or another. Kenna can attest.
She's in an upswing
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, I'm in an upswing.
I mean, she could attest to me being a jackass.
You're a lot of things, but I don't think you're intentionally a jackass. Right, you just don't know that you're a jackass.
We've sometimes. All had days where we look back and we're like, man, I was a jackass that day. You know, or in that situation.
I usually just credit to you to being a man, you know.
Uh-huh, right, yeah. Which is good. But, you know, we've all had times whether, you know, think about it, if you're really sick, you know, you might not be as friendly or patient with people, or you might be a little whiny or sadder. You know, I've talked about on the show before where there was times where I was really sick and I would, like, start crying at episodes of Brady Bunch, you know. Aww. It's just emotions... You know, get heavier when you're sick like that.
I want to see Tony have an emotion.
Nah, robot. So, Will, let's talk a little bit about why somebody who hasn't eaten, you know, for those many days might feel that way or have different personality, so to speak.
Yeah. If you are someone dealing with this, you might also gain some insights by going back to listening to our other podcasts about depression, anxiety, and cravings. Because this whole, like this question you just posed, this prolonged fasting state would throw almost everyone into a low blood pressure, electrolyte deficient situation. And with that, it's really hard for your brain to run right. Your body knows it doesn't have enough resources to do its daily activities. It'll start shutting down your metabolism. And you get all sorts of, like, correct negative feedback from your cells saying, hey, this sucks. Let's get some more nutrients going so we can keep the show going. And it'll start to break its own tissue down to keep your body active and alive. And that's just not fun. It doesn't feel good. So you're going to have like little spurts where your thyroid like goes into superdrive and then shuts down and superdrive and shuts down. Mm-hmm. So you can have these ups and downs as your endocrine system is like an engine sputtering, you know? So with that, your mood can fluctuate a lot.
And even if you were eating, but your body couldn't process everything like your digestion.
Oh, good call.
Then, you know, then you're still, I'm turning into like a health practitioner
you
right
are,
before your eyes.
You uh-huh. are. Yeah. I mean, what I would say, like, I would be shocked if there was someone who, air quote, had bipolar, but all of their self-test ranges showed normal. Like if their blood pressure was where it should be, their breath rate was where it should be, their blood sugar, the other different tests that we teach people how to do. If you're in all the perfect ranges there, I bet you my horse, you are not bipolar.
Right.
You're just an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, there's like, so when you look at that, it's like, oh, is it really a disease I was born with? Is it run in your family? It's like, well, eating habits and maybe toxicity or even weakness from birth like might be something you inherited. But if you can work to take steps to correct your chemistry, just watch how magically those symptoms of bipolar and other symptoms kind of just melt away.
Right. So here's how to look at it, how to view it, is that it's easy for us to understand that if you don't eat for 3 or 4 days, that it's going to affect you as a human being. You may act differently. You may feel differently. We've all experienced situations like that. So that makes sense. So what we need to do is understand that if someone is eating, but they're not getting nutrients or their body is not processing the nutrients correctly, it's processing them too quickly, too slowly. There's all kinds of things that can happen. But if fuel is not getting to the brain or there's not enough minerals in the system for signals to travel correctly, all those things, if any of that is going on, even though the person's eating, it's like their body hasn't been eating. Mm-hmm. And the body could be starving just like the person that went 3 or 4 days without eating anything. Or the person who has a cold and all of those resources are going towards fighting that cold, so now they're like a little bitch. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're ornery and they're emotional and you know, they're a
or
different
pregnant people.
Sure, a pregnant is a perfect example. That's like a brilliant example, really.
Oh, gosh, I'm look good at, today. Kenna's on fire today.
It's going to be the Kenna McEnroe show next time.
Right, and I've talked about this in my book about pregnant women because it's the perfect example of no matter how sweet and loving a girl is, we know at some point when she's pregnant, she's going to snap and flip out, and we just accept that because we understand what's going on. We understand that all of those resources are going towards building this other human being, and it kind of leaves the person without enough stuff to function. And then, you know, they say, well, there's hormones that are going crazy. Well, a lot of times those hormones are going to abnormal levels because the body's doing whatever it can to try and function without resources. So when we look at that and we look at it and we tie that into a bipolar situation, a lot of times when these people are up, they're just in a mode of the body has found a way to function correctly, or maybe they ate sugar or some kind of thing that was easy to for their body to digest and gave them fuel in that immediate moment. But a lot of these people are set up in, you know, physiologically that when they do eat sugar and they spike and feel great, a crash is coming right after that.
You could look at anyone doing a juice cleanse.
Sure.
Going on that roller coaster, like so elated, and then just like mm-hmm. can't stand upright. And then they're just so elated, like every time they have a juice.
Yeah, if you want to experience bipolar, go on a cleanse.
Right, go on a juice, juice fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So a lot of times, and you know, if you're listening and you're thinking, well, you know, I eat the same thing every day, it's not necessarily what you're eating. Even though that can affect situations, but it's how your body is processing what you're eating. And the way that it processes it can vary drastically from day to day, depending on the toxic load that it's dealing with, you know, how well you're digesting that day, the mineral and nutrition content of the food that you're eating. You know, there's so much that goes into it.
And it's day by day, like you just said. Like, maybe some days you're digesting for some reason better than the others. You've been taking your supplements. You've been doing all the right steps. And then one day, maybe it's off.
Right.
But does that usually happen? Or do you usually, once you get it fixed and corrected, it's pretty good?
Well, there's so much that can go into this. You know, you look at, you know, when you look at the literature about bipolar, you do see people saying that stress can induce a bipolar disorder for somebody. And the reason that I say, sure, I'm okay with that, is because when we're stressed, we're creating all these chemicals, and for the body to continue functioning correctly, it takes more resources to deal with all that, to be in that stress mode. So stress can reduce the amount of resources that we have available, and now the brain's not getting fuel, and we're depressed, or think about the most stressful time of your. We know somebody who might get married at some point So we know that brides, when they're preparing for the wedding, as well as anybody who else is involved with that, can go a little
pregnant
psycho.
Bride.
Right, pregnant bride. That's you got a Godzilla thing going. So, but it's not being rude to say that. We all get it. It's a stressful time. They turn into a different person. If stress can create that to someone who is not diagnosed with a bipolar disorder, look at what a lack of resources means to the body. Now the body has to try and function without any of the resources it needs to do that. It's like trying to pay $800 worth of bills with $7.
And you can't, and then they come after you.
Right, and they come after you. So the body's thinking, I got to pay all these bills. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough money to pay these bills. And it starts to freak out, and it starts to stress out. And then it can actually move our autonomic nervous system into the sympathetic state. We'll explain that in a second. God. But
better start brushing up.
Right. Yeah. So if your body is stressed out, we get to feel that stress as well. And so that can affect our personality, not only from the stress, but from the lack of resources that comes from dealing with that stress.
Yeah. And when you're in fight or flight, your body deprioritizes digestion, which makes you get even less of the resources from the food.
Great. Right? So, good point.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, you know, the parasympathetic
easy for you to say.
I know. Let's talk about the parasympathetic.
Okay.
The parasympathetic and the sympathetic state and, you know, why somebody could get stuck.
I'm always in a sympathetic state. I feel for you.
Yeah. That's a different thing.
Sure. So there is external stress, like your job or your marriage or your
boss
whatever, that can put you into like that dealing with emergency mindset. And that is a big cause of being stuck in that zone, or even like working out super hard, like too hard, to like tax your nervous system.
Hear that, Tony?
Mm-hmm. Stimulants like coffee and whatever else that we're on, and even allergy meds can push you into that. So there's also metabolic reasons, like someone who's leaning towards diabetes and they're like a slow oxidizer, their body's not processing through sugars or starches quickly enough, their nervous system will try to accelerate that process by pushing them into fight or flight, where the general cellular metabolism is speeding up glycolysis because of like what it's trying to do, deal with a present emergency. So you could be like meditating and chill and everything's nice and you're on a vacation in Hawaii, but if your body is like a really slow oxidizer, you may still feel kind of like edgy and on because you're stuck in that fight or flight state because of your metabolism.
Right. And it kind of can magnify the stress level that you're feeling, even if the situation is not as stressful.
Yeah.
How do we get all screwed up?
We're jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation of our food is pretty off, you know.
It's a little bit not so great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's maybe answer some questions.
All right. Then we'll talk more about this. Here we go. Woohoo! Angered. What are the basic symptoms of bipolar?
I'm nice, I'm happy. I'm not so nice, I'm not so happy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Now, there's a lot more to that, and they lump a lot of things into the symptoms of what can be to, you know, diagnose or to wonder what's going on. But the main situation that we like to view, especially with someone who has been diagnosed with bipolar, is why are the ups and downs so drastic?
Mm-hmm. Like, and manic, like really, really depressed, suicidal, or really happy, crazy happy.
Right. And so the good news is that we see in most situations that people can make adjustments to how their body is running or what they're putting into their body. And it can improve these situations greatly. Instead of the spikes and crashes, a person can be on a more even keel, and all of a sudden they are a completely different human being.
Yeah. If you want to kind of go in depth with it, you can read Nutrition and Your Mind by George Watson and see like how he was able to pull people beyond just bipolar, like paranoid schizophrenics, back to normal by fixing their metabolism, by understanding like how their body was processing food. I don't know if he did work to correct digestion, but he used nutrients specific to those individuals to fix their metabolic rate. And they had the immediate, like, in-the-moment results.
And here's a simple way to look at it. Let's say when we talk about an oxidation rate, and we teach simple tests you can do at home in our free digestion course on kickitinthenuts.com, and we teach this in all my books. But if your body is oxidizing proteins slowly, it takes you longer to get the fuel out of those proteins so that they can help the body, fuel the body, and everything can function. But if you're oxidizing fast, you may rip through them too quickly.
Did you mean carbs? Oxidizing, or proteins?
Yeah, I'm talking about the glucose that is coming out of protein.
Oh, okay.
So now, to look at it in the other way, there are proteins that are easier to oxidize, like white meat, like white chicken or white turkey and stuff like that, white fish. Those are easier to oxidize. And then there are proteins like dark chicken and stuff that are harder to oxidize. They take longer to oxidize. So now, if you think about it, if I'm a person that I oxidize too quickly, and then all the food I'm eating is food that's too easy to oxidize, I'm ripping through that in 10 minutes or something.
So you would want to stick with dark chicken.
Yeah, so I would want to do dark chicken. So since I'm oxidizing faster, I need something that takes longer to oxidize so that it's more like a time-release Tylenol kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it can sustain me throughout the day. So even a person can just adjust the type of protein that they're eating and completely can turn their life around. So that's just one example of things that you can do. But when you look at your own physiology, not only can you adjust how your body's operating, but if you adjust the foods that you're eating, you can really do magical stuff like George Watson was doing.
Okay. I don't know if we answered your question, Ingrid, but yeah, anyways. Crystal, how long does bipolar last?
How long can you sustain it?
Yeah, exactly. We got all night.
I'd say as long as the imbalances are there that are causing
it. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't go away until you do something to make it go away.
It can get worse or better.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of people saying that bipolar disorder is not a curable disease, is what they say. And we're not here to argue with that. We're not here to say do this and you're going to be cured, because cured is a medical term and we don't work in the medical field. But what we see is that if you were diagnosed off of something that was purely symptom-driven and you can take steps to improve those symptoms, is it something that you still have? I don't know. I mean, if it's not bothering you, I don't know. That's for you to decide, I guess.
Yeah, you? I mean, you can, like we were saying, you can fix it with maybe with your digestion and all that stuff, and then maybe you don't have a problem anymore.
Right, but maybe just if you go back to your doctor, maybe if you go back to your doctor, he's like, "I'm sorry, I already diagnosed you. It's not curable, so you still have it. So here's your name tag and wear it.
Dormant.
Yeah,
dormant.
Yeah, right. It's dormant, but at least you know. Look, I feel good. So who cares? Whatever.
It's in remission.
Yeah.
Okay, Dale from Ray, Colorado. Marijuana works very well for bipolar disorder. I love it that he lives in Colorado.
He's done a lot of research.
Exactly, yep. I just like here in California.
I don't have an answer for that.
I would assume that it pushes his chemistry in the right way.
I think it works. It depends on the person. I know a little bit about this stuff.
Maybe we ask you about this?
Yeah, it depends on the person, because, and it also depends on the mood you're in right then. I mean, if I'm in a certain mood, and if, let's just say I were to do a little marijuana here.
Medicinal, of course.
Medicinal, exactly.
Medicinal, yeah.
Then it would just be amplified.
Yeah.
Well, so I was curious. So when I looked up stuff, I found that it was really, there's an argument out there about it, that some people say that there's has some benefits, and other people say that it can create a bipolar disorder. So
that's true, too. I mean, I think it depends on the person. Is that why when I walked in, you were smoking out of a bong?
Yeah, no, that's why. I wanted to test this out. I don't want to ask questions without
exactly. Research. Exactly. And it makes hypothetical me really anxious.
So the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah. It can definitely make you more paranoid.
Yeah.
Okay. Zoe from Los Angeles, California. How can a person become bipolar later in life if they never had any symptoms before? That's kind of like the, you know, you usually get diagnosed later on with schizophrenia, too. They say late 30s, early 40s is when, even though my sister was like 14.
And maybe if it's, you know, you have to look, you have to kind of wonder, you know, because of a lot of the things that, you know, when someone is overly manic and excited and talkative and all these things that they put into the symptoms of bipolar, you know, that's just a kid hopped up on sugar. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a kid at a birthday party, and we
just
don't,
like ADD. Right. That kid doesn't have ADD. He's just had 12 Snickers.
Yeah, exactly. And that affects how your body functions with all that sugar going, because your body's like, we got to rip through this. We got to burn some of this off. But we'll talk a little bit about how, you know, genetics or the, you're not born with kind of things like that, or it could, I don't know, just talk about stuff.
Well, Lady Gaga says she was born this way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's true.
Maybe it's true.
I don't know if she's born wearing a meat suit. I guess technically.
she's born this way.
So, I mean, what I think of when I think of this is, like, say you're starting off a trip, like a flight. And you're a little off course at first. Like, as you continue going, you're still a little off. And that distance of how far off you are massively increases, right?
All right.
You know, so it's like if your chemistry is a little off when you're young, your digestion's a little impaired, it keeps on this negative cycle of like, oh, your chemistry makes your digestion worse, and your digestion makes your chemistry worse, and it just pushes you eventually into problems. Same thing like with joint pain, like maybe your posture's a little off for a while and your knee kind of aches, and then just over years the wear and tear is like just accumulates.
Right, you know? Totally.
So eventually you develop symptoms.
So your imbalances become worse and worse and worse when they're not dealt with.
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, if you've heard any of our shows before, we mentioned digestion.
That's the magical word.
Right, so and we have a couple episodes, the last few episodes were on just digestion. So listen to those if you don't understand the importance of digestion. But there's a lot of things in life that can turn digestion off, even abruptly. You know, if you have a little reflux and you're like, oh, well, I'm supposed to take an over-the-counter reflux drug. You just turned off your digestion. And sometimes it can be hard to get it back on if you don't already have a lot of resources. So if something like that happens and all of a sudden you can't pull fuel out of the food that you're eating, then you could go downhill very quickly.
And if you were a downhill skier, that would be good.
Yeah,
but if
you
you're
would
not,
win.
Then
you would not.
That's
win.
Probably not good. Megan from Concord, New Hampshire. I have to say, I feel like there are a lot of people that are just too comfortable throwing the term around. Being undiagnosed bipolar for many years literally destroyed my life. I am slowly picking up the pieces and rebuilding, but there is nothing more frustrating to me than when someone uses the term flippantly. There is no cure. There is only learning to live and cope with the disease. If anyone has any tips on foods or other natural things, I would love to hear them.
See, and this is kind of bleak, though. Yeah, but it was what I was talking about before, kind of that. I guess if you're dealing with something that has ruined your life, then you get a little defensive. Like, I can remember, you know, I lost my voice for 8 years, and people would complain to me. They're like, I haven't been able to talk. I lost my voice, and it's been scratchy for almost a week. I'm like, really? Yeah, That's what you're going to complain to me about? Yeah.
I put on 2 pounds.
Oh, right. So,
try 100-something.
Yeah. So when someone is dealing with this, and then other people use it in a throwaway sense, it's a little offensive to them. But one thing that I would say to Megan, and this is not just Megan, this is most of the population, especially most of the population dealing with the disorder, is that in the medical community, it is not fixable because they're treating it with drugs, and the drug is not going to fix the underlying cause. So you're going to have to always use that drug or deal with the symptoms and learn to fit it into your life
because
correctly.
Because if they put a guarantee on it, then they would have to be held responsible that it didn't work and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, they never do a guarantee on any drug.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying they can't guarantee it, so they don't.
Right. And and that's not what drugs are meant to do. Drugs are not meant to fix an underlying cause. They're meant to correct a symptom because that's what we bitch and complain about is the symptom. We never go in and we're like, you know, my pH is off, and we just care about how we feel. But what Megan needs to understand and may be very excited to learn is that there are people around the world with a bipolar disorder who improve their situation and even eliminate their symptoms completely every day. So it's a matter of saying, oh, there is information out there. I need to investigate that and see what I could do for myself. Just try some things out, and if you feel better, look at that. Something happens. So just because the medical community doesn't have a solution doesn't mean that there's not a solution or at least a way to improve your life.
Amen. Amy from Allen, Texas. Is it the new N diagnosis when they're not sure what to call it? Probably, yeah. Although it's been N for years.
But it is more popular now than it used to be. And I think Janet in the group was even saying that it took her 20 years to get diagnosed. And she's like 60 now. But, you know, a long time ago, it was not as popular. People back then, it was always the answer was
depressed or
they're just in your head. And that's what they told people before. Now they don't really tell people that things are in their head anymore. They just say, you win this diagnosis.
Isn't that the whole point of mental illness? It's in
your
head.
It's all
in your head. I mean, it's all in your head.
I do think that I would say that, yeah, it probably is pretty common that when a doctor doesn't understand why someone's having an issue, that the important thing is to find a diagnosis that matches, because then at least the person can say, okay, I have something, I'm not a freak, and I can take a med for it.
Okay. Sylvia, we all are and can become. Whoa. She thinks
deep.
We're all bipolar or that we all can become it? Or
Or she was just speaking existentially.
Yeah. She could, yeah.
Yeah.
She may have been looking at the wrong post.
She might have been too deep
for me. But she's kind of right, you know.
We all have moods.
Right. And we can all... You know, here's a perfect example, is when I did lose my voice, the first thing all the doctors did was they put me on the PVI drugs and turned off my digestion. And I was a basket case, you know. I was, for the first time in my life, I was depressed. And it was a different situation. And I was a person that would never even be sad except when I watched E.T. So it's the perfect example of, you know, digestion turned off. I couldn't get the resources my body need, and it affected my mood, my personality, how I felt, everything. So if I would have gone to a doctor and that was why I was going, it would have been pretty easy for them to diagnose me with either depression or bipolar or something. But luckily, I was such a freak with my voice. That was all they cared about. They didn't look at the other stuff. But you can see how easy it is for someone. I forgot the question. Oh, no. But you can see how somebody...
We all are and can become.
Yeah, you can see how things in life could set a person in that, where they at least feel that way, whether it's diagnosable or not.
Yeah, and if you just pay attention to your moods throughout, like, elevations of blood sugar, like post-workout, right when you eat, during your menstrual cycle, away from your menstrual cycle, you'll see we all have these ebbs and flows and ups and downs. And those also affect people, like, diagnosed with this condition.
Yeah,
if you watch.
Even birth controls. You know what I mean? Like, years ago, Tony would, you know, wanted to kill me when I did the Depro shot. That's 3-month shot. And it was so much in me that I was like a basket case the whole time. I was like high, low, crying, irrational. And it was every day. I just was raging.
Oh,
and it was because it was so much stuff putting into me in one shot that would last for 3 months.
Wow.
So, I mean, even things like that. If I'd have gone, I would have been diagnosed right then.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point. It gave me a good idea here. And I don't think we've ever used this analogy. I really like it. I hope we're recording this so that I can remember it. Totally forgot.
You forgot? Ah!
So what happens is when, you know, we run on kind of blood sugar, and we need that in there to function. But if blood sugar goes super low, minerals can kind of buffer that, and we can kind of function. So if a person's blood sugar spikes, they can be all excited. When it crashes, the minerals in the system are just one buffering system. It's like a backup system that the body has so that we don't fall apart. The problem is that a lot of people don't have very many minerals in the body for a lot of different reasons. So that buffering system is really gone. So now, instead of being an even-keeled human being, they are a prisoner to wherever their blood sugar is. So if their blood sugar is high, they can feel great. But when it goes low, they're a complete mess because there is nothing there to buffer that.
Have you ever seen a hypoglycemic get hungry? I mean, they get mean.
That's how I used to be. I used to be hypoglycemic, and people... And they knew to run and get me a sandwich.
That just makes me want to touch on just a moment, like, the main, like, sort of imbalances that I've seen in people that have come to me with this bipolar or emotional disturbance, like ebbs and flows, is if they're low blood pressure, cause in this mineral deplete state, like you're talking about, not a lot of resources to draw from. It's less common in someone with a high blood pressure electrolyte state. They may not feel good, but they usually don't. They have those resources to like draw from. So if you're low blood pressure, if you're a fast oxidizer, you'll tend to be that also because you're, like you said earlier, ripping through your fuel sources and then you crash. If you're in a sympathetic state, it can also make you feel kind of panicked all the time. Or if you're too alkaline, it can also make you feel really anxious and not know, like, why. And if your body isn't breaking down proteins and you don't have potassium in your cells, like, all those are main things to kind of look at. So you can go through our free course on correcting digestive issues to learn how to see, are you any of those things? Are you electrolyte deficient or fast oxidizer, overly alkaline or sympathetic? And then, like, work on each one of those things.
Yeah, and what's great is that a lot of people with situations like this don't have to fix everything in order to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body has a lot of little systems in place to back things up. And, like, if you look at your urine pH and it's really, really high.
What's MPH?
Urine pH.
I thought you said
yeah,
NPH.
We teach people how to look at their urine pH.
I thought you said NPH.
If it's really high, that'll probably make you anxious too.
Um, But we see that people with a very high urine pH tend to have a lot of times overly powerful insulin. So when they do eat sugar and they get that spike, they really crash hard and fast. So the person has a few options. They can either stop eating the sugar and find carbs that are more even-keeled running, maybe don't spike so high, but still give them carbs to feel better. Or you can help them adjust their urine pH so that it's not so overpowering and eliminate all that sugar so quickly. So a lot of times it's just a matter of either adjusting what you're eating or adjusting your physiology a little bit. And either one can give you a relief. And when you fix, you know, more than one thing, all of a sudden you're like a new person.
So even if somebody is like, say somebody is just binging out on sugar and they're a binger and this is like something that they do all the time, then they might be experiencing bipolar stuff because they're high and then they're low and then they have to get high again and they have to get low. And if they just take away their sugar or a lot of it, mm-hmm. you know, at first they may be a little depressed or crazy, but after a while they'll kind of even out.
I would say to listen to our episode on binging and cravings to understand why you're having those cravings. Because, you know, it's not like nobody ever told them, you know, don't eat 16 donuts uh-huh. at a time. You know, they've heard that. They uh-huh. know that that's not a good idea. But sometimes you can't help it. So you need to understand how to fix those issues so that you can help it. How to give your body what it needs so that it's not screaming for that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So if someone, you know, don't look at it like, just eat better. It's not that simple.
Because your digestion may be not working. The different factors and you know, what's right for you may not be right for somebody else. Right. Blah, blah, blah.
You may be eating all these simple to break down sugars because you found that's the only way you can function at all. And that might be true. So you have to fix things so that you can eat what we would call healthy.
Yeah. All right. Simran, Houston, Texas. A highly intelligent and active youth who started signs of being bipolar after parents divorced at age 13. Now he is a bipolar young adult who prefers to sleep all day, overeat, left school and blows off job interviews. He is going through the special needs program which locates jobs and he is stable on meds. The problem is the family is lucky if he flushes the toilet when he's done, and he knows full well how to flush. He's just lazy on an epic scale. He is indulged and then berated, and the cycle goes around. Lots of things he does are from, in my opinion, being allowed to do them. Period. Am I being too harsh? How do we get him off the track of habits built from enabling family members at this point without causing more harm than good? There are camps we considered, but they are for several weeks and for hundreds of dollars per day. What can we do? Adoption might, you know, can be in order.
Boarding school.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that Simran, that's how I'm going to say that name. It's kind of cool, but I don't know if I'm saying it right. I'm going to say that you're not being harsh. I think that you're just not being empathetic because you don't have an understanding of what it's like to be in that situation. And I'd lived with a bipolar individual before I knew anything about any of this stuff. And it was, you know, it's really hard. And it's like, wow, I don't even understand how you got a license to be a human, you know, just because there's no rationality there.
And now that you know all this, do you want to go back and I want to fix her, you know, that kind of thing?
No. Yeah. But there's understanding there, and there's a realization of, you know, you don't think the person is crazy anymore. You just understand what they're going through. And here's what you could do. Here's what Simran could do to better understand. Is Simran could not eat anything for 3 days and then run a marathon. And then after you do that, I want you to go home and I want you to continue not eating. And I want to see if you flush the toilet. I want to see if you're helpful around the house or you're pleasant or you're even a nice person. Because a lot of times people with this bipolar issue are dealing with that all the time. Like that's the state that they're in all the time, that their body is just not getting what it needs. And, you know, a lot of the ups and downs can not only come from what they ate that day or, you know, are they eating, did they happen to eat something their body could process? There's this ebb and flow of what the body does with all this. And, you know, that can change over weeks and months. And the body can get to where a point like I'm not getting anything. All right, I'm gonna try this, and let's start breaking down our own tissue and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier when we were talking about like how the thyroid will kick on and off as like an engine sputtering, and it literally does that as it will sort of jolt awake or find some resource that it can tap into or recognize like a super drop in energy production. It'll just kick on for a minute and it'll keep doing that as. And then, you know, if you talk to your doctor about that, you're like fluctuating between hyper and hypothyroid. And basically, it's just your body doesn't have the resources it needs to run. And it's very much like an engine sputtering, like the car will jolt and stop and jolt and stop.
Right, right. And so that's not always a direct response to what you eat. There's a lot more complicated stuff going on in the body that probably no one will ever understand. But we have to understand that a lot of times improvement or crashing further can be a result of the body getting fed up and trying some last ditch effort of jacking up a hormone to see if that helps, you know, yeah. And stuff like that.
But, and also we do focus on the nutrition side of all this and what's going on in their chemistry, because that will help no matter what else is going on psychologically. But when you look at like in this case of like signs of being bipolar after a divorce, like there's psychological factors and stresses too that maybe he wants to be disgruntled to make you guys wrong, you know, for what the life situation that you're in. And there's real psychological pull and stories that people can latch onto, mm-hmm. that even if someone did fix their digestion, they might quit that program and mess it up again, you know, or start drugs,
right.
You know, because it doesn't fit their story of like being right or who's wrong or how to blame people or make people feel bad for your pain. Yeah, right. So there's all those things too. I've had clients that they started the program, they lost like 20 pounds and then they stopped doing it, and because they wanted to be overweight because it protected them psychologically.
Yeah, you know? Or it's just so different. They're not used to the change and they would rather stick with what they know than a change that they don't know.
Try to figure out how to be a different person.
Yeah, that's a real common. I mean, I think with a lot of people. And even though this life might, it's like a woman who's abused, even though this life is, you know, so scary staying here, at least I know what to expect. I don't know what to expect if I leave and, you know, all
yeah,
that
that's
kind
true.
Of stuff.
And just remember that, you know, most things that we talk about, like issues like this or depression or emotional issues, that life counts. You know, what happens in life can affect you. It can affect, you know, your emotions and all that stuff. Our only suggestion is when you're looking at nutrition and how the body is running, is that if you can improve those situations, it can make those things in life easier to deal with. Maybe it goes from a 10 to a 6 or something. But it's also important that the person has to want to improve. So Cimarron may not be able to help this kid if this kid doesn't want help.
Mm-hmm. Nino from Rapid City, South Dakota. What are different options when you have bipolar? Instead of going to the psych ward for a week, are there other safe places to go for a week than a hospital, assuming a med change is not necessary?
I like Lake Shasta.
Yes,
that's
nice.
A pretty place.
You want a juice cleanse retreat?
Oh, man, that poor guy would be ruined.
I know. I mean, well, like there are different places you can go, like natural health places, and if they can get on board with understanding your body chemistry, like there are a lot of good programs out there where people have gone and like cured themselves of cancer or like got to like just chill out and eat healthy food for a while. So some of the ones that I've had people enjoy was one called Optimum Health Institute, which I think is in San Diego near Mexico. But look up Google like good ones. There might be something near you.
Yeah, but don't view that as that's what the person needs. And don't view like going to a psych ward for a week is an option to fix it. Right. I just want a different option. I don't think that's the option at all.
Yeah.
One place that you might want to go is the grocery store.
Yeah, Whole Foods.
And where you could get some real food that has real nutrition in it, mm-hmm. and then you make it. So it's not a place where you drive through
and
you
hang
place
out
the
for
order.
A week.
Yeah, yeah, just hang out in the grocery store. They have free samples. Mm-hmm. But that would be a place to start, is see what happens when you not only eat real food with real nutrition, but set your body up so that you can access the nutrients in that food by digesting it correctly.
And yeah. Don't go to one of those sweat lodges.
No.
Okay.
Those aren't good.
Or a rest stop.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we know where not to go.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Michael from Lake Nyawara, New South Wales, Australia.
I think you said
I'm
that
sure
right.
That's how it's supposed to be said. And this one's a hard one to read because I don't get it. Laugh out loud, had a 12-year relationship with a bipolar woman, destroyed our relationship, family, and has scarred my kids for life. And the truth is nothing will help a person that LOL doesn't have a problem. Oh, and so many people like to use the guise of mental illness when it suits. That is a truth. Aside from genuine sufferers, there is a lot more scammers out there. Michael got burned.
Yeah, Michael didn't have fun with that one.
Yeah. And maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. Maybe she was just a stark raving, you know, biatch.
Right, and a lot of times, you know, she says that she didn't have a problem. Apparently that's what she was telling him.
Oh, that's what it, I didn't know what the Lello Loud doesn't have.
But then did she use it as an excuse?
Also? Yeah, because it's kind of.
Must been
confusing.
The highs and lows, like, I don't have a problem. And then other times I
maybe
have.
He's bipolar.
He changed a couple times.
Yeah,
in
he
that
changed,
time.
Yeah.
No, his, but you look at, you know, it is hard for him to deal with, but a lot of times when you don't have the resources for the brain to function correctly, it's hard to get to see that, oh, I am acting like a different person. So he's probably like where I was before when I was living with someone that was bipolar, but I didn't understand what it was or what would cause it. It just seemed like a random occurrence to me instead of having real underlying causes.
And that's when you turn to hookers.
Oh. that may have been helpful. I did not. Okay.
Kinley from Los Angeles, California. Are there foods that can improve bipolar? Are there foods that can also make it worse? Probably.
I would say yes, but there isn't. I would say that it would depend greatly from person to person and how you're processing things.
We're all snowflakes.
Yeah, this program should be sponsored by Depends.
Yeah.
Get it? Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, what fixes you is going to be different than the next person. So, like, look at your own metabolism, your own digestion. And try
Take
to learn
the course at kickitinthenuts.com.
Yeah, it'll help you learn how to eat right for you.
Cool. Pam from Deltona, Florida. No, I lived with one. Stay away.
Okay, thank you, Pam.
Mm-hmm. What if you fall in love with them first and then you find out? That's always an issue.
That's how it goes. And that's why, I think a lot of these people have a hard time because during the ups, the person is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like the best person you ever knew. And then during the downs, you're like, I'm surprised there's not like horror theme music right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of times they will stick it out with a bad situation because there's a lot of good there that they see.
Oh, poor yo. Mm. Rose, exercise. I think that one, is a good suggestion. It may not cure it, but it definitely, I think it'll help a little.
I think it could do
the endorphins,
you know?
Yeah, again, it depends.
Let's listen to how Will explains why sometimes exercise could be a bad idea.
Oh, yeah, everybody else, yeah.
Right, well, if you're low resources, like low blood pressure, electrolyte deficient, any electrolytes you lose is going to make you feel more crazy.
So fix your digestion first before
you and don't go in a sauna.
But what's great is that you can look at measurements, like you can look at your blood pressure, and know from week to week, how often should I work out this week? Am I barely getting by and maybe I need to take it a little more easy?
We'll start doing that when I have 95 over something.
You have a day off?
Yeah.
You can also look at that catabolic state too. Like if you're really catabolic, like you might not want to super push it in the gym and break yourself down even more.
We have a lot of questions on this show.
We do. Some of them are really they're not really questions, though.
All right, let's pick it up then.
All right, Artie from Harkers Island, North Carolina. It sucks. Been bipolar and meds helped at first, then they don't work. And I was happier when I smoked, so that may have helped me. What were you smoking? Is my question. Cigarettes? Peace pipe? Weed, what?
But smoking could actually do things that
improve.
It raises
your blood pressure.
Yeah, because let's have Will explain how smoking can raise blood pressure.
Yeah. So it pushes you in a sympathetic state. There's over 300 different toxins in most cigarettes. So it freaks your body out. And
it's a bargain. You only buy one pack and you get 300 different toxins.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's great.
But it also is full of all this tar and muck and stuff. So it makes your blood thicker and pushes your nervous system into fight or flight. So all your veins and capillaries and stuff constrict. And that makes the space in which there is blood smaller, so your blood pressure goes higher, which makes you feel better. Which isn't, you should go back and listen to our Quit Smoking podcast if you're using smoking as a crutch and can't seem to quit. It's probable that you have low blood pressure, and it's helping you feel better by raising your blood pressure temporarily in a really, really toxic way. Same thing with the meds, like usually like antidepressant meds, anti-anxiety meds also push your blood pressure up, but they also, like you say in your book, like kick your liver in the face every time you take them. So eventually, like, that's going to run your digestion even weaker, and then you'll feel like you won't feel as good as you did before the meds.
Right, increase the toxic load the body's dealing with, more stress on the body, and then that can create the problems as well.
I'm trying to figure out how you figure out which is the face and which is the butt of the liver.
You just gotta know.
Top part.
Nathan, the outdoors. Now, I don't, unless you're like allergic to the sun, I don't really see how this one could hurt you.
Maybe he's saying go outdoors.
That's what I'm saying. That's probably what he did mean. The outdoors, go outside. Go outside. Be in nature kind of thing.
Right. And I can see where people could think that. Just because if you get vitamin D from the sun, that's going to lift your blood pressure by holding calcium in the blood. And it could thicken that up and raise your blood pressure. So a lot of times with depression, people, they can use vitamin D and even feel a little bit better, but make sure that you're not using the extraordinary amounts that the mainstream tells us. And we probably have a podcast that talks about that.
Yeah,
a
vitamin D one.
We have a vitamin D podcast.
Yeah.
We have so many now. We're losing track.
But there's also just like the peacefulness of outdoors if you're freezing out.
Serenity in nature. Yeah. I mean, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
When I'm having a bad day.
I like that one the best.
I do too. I think that's a good one that... It covers everybody.
Right. Way to go, Nathan. You have won a free... Oh.
Can you just see people writing that down on a prescription?
Outdoors.
The outdoors.
The outdoor.
Casey from Des Moines, Iowa. What about the hypomaniac? And I didn't know what this was, so I Googled it yesterday when I was reading. And it just appears like they're the same type of symptoms, except they're less. They're not as like, let's get this person on meds, or let's, you know... Right. Incarcerate
when you,
this
when you look at the symptoms for this, it lists things like creative, optimistic, successful, productive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, those are
just to
break,
bad things.
Just to break this word down, it's less than manic. So, okay.
Yeah.
That's normal, right? Or maybe slightly enthusiastic.
Right. But I think it's all it's the same causes where there's just times when the brain can have the fuel and the function and all that stuff, and there's times that it's not. So it doesn't need to be a lot more complicated. There doesn't need to be all the different names that we use in the medical world to diagnose things differently. In a lot of these situations, the underlying cause is very similar, not the same thing.
Yeah.
Stephen from Manhattan, Kansas. I didn't know there was one. Okay. Move up north.
So I can't tell. Does that mean that... I mean,
he thinks that'll help bipolar if you move up north.
Does like he live in the south? Does he just want everybody with bipolar to move up
closer to the North Pole? Is that what he's saying? He's just be like one pole.
Maybe that is what he was saying.
I don't know about that one. Joshua from Victoria, British Columbia. How can I tell if someone is bipolar without asking? I have a buddy who is so talkative and yet so sensitive. He goes without sleep for days and has abundant energy, and then will sleep around the clock and rejuvenate himself. He is often loud and defensive, crying at the injustice of how he's been treated. He's a kaleidoscope of moods. Wondered if this sounds like bipolar. It sounds like hell.
I think that what Joshua should do is he should ask his friend, are you bipolar? And then if the friend cries or punches him in the face, then you know that he probably is.
Yeah, or if he gets real defensive.
But you know what else, though? I think we talked about this in the depression podcast, was that a lot of times people, they'll have these really low resources, and they seem kind of like a drama queen. That's what people will call them. But what's could be happening subconsciously, not that they know that they're doing this, but by moving into this sympathetic state, it constricts the vascular system, which can raise blood pressure and help them function more. So if they can take something in their life and blow it out of proportion and you know, live it as a 10, they're like forcing themselves into this higher sympathetic state that helps them to function better. It's like they don't have a medium gear. They only have high and low gear because they have to constrict everything and be in that state of and then they feel better and they can, their brain can function and they can figure things out.
That's clever, Tony. You know
who Joshua just described? All actors. You know? Really.
It's true. That's a clever insight, Tony.
Yeah, people always call me drama queen. And then I decided to go into theater, so it worked out, you know?
Yeah. Good job.
Karna, the sister of Karma, from Las Vegas, Nevada. Easy glum, easy glow. Oh,
they got like a little slogan.
Mm-hmm. Christy, mental depression, menopause, menstrual cycle. Notice how they all start with men. This is why there is bipolar, LOL. I gotta agree with Christy.
I can see where that would be the case. Guys are pretty stupid. I'll go along with that.
But I like them. Amber from Clare, Michigan. My father was bipolar. My sister is. Is it hereditary?
No. Next question.
Okay.
But no, but, you know, we talk about that, that there are, you know, genes can predispose things to go wrong in the body or can predispose, you know, functions and how fuel is used, but a lot more times it's just how they were brought up, how they were taught to eat, how they were taught to cook. You know, they're hanging out in the same kitchen, eating the same food, and they just learn to do that, and so they can end up in similar situations.
Mm-hmm. Janet from Marion, North Carolina. I have a BPD diagnosis and am maintaining quite well on natural supplements. It will be interesting to hear what Tony has to say about it.
No, it won't.
Janet uses lithium orotate, the OTC supplement, not the pharmaceutical version. This particular one was suggested by a functional medicine doctor who uses it to treat autistic children. It crosses the blood-brain barrier easily and does not require toxic levels to be effective like lithium carbonate does. It's more easily cleared by the kidneys. If there is a side effect to a psych med, I will probably experience it and have had severe adverse reactions to many of them. There have been absolutely no reactions to this med, and it stopped an episode of severe mania. I have found that very low-dose magnesium citrate powder dissolved in water is helpful for both mood and sleep issues. I have to emphasize the very low-dose part, because otherwise it can be a potent laxative. I use only 1/8 to 1/4 a teaspoon in an 8-ounce cup of water, maybe 2 or 3 times a week.
So first, we'll have Will explain what lithium orotate is.
I'm just kidding.
So, but they used to use lithium a lot with bipolar and
my sister, yeah.
And but it caused a lot of problems with building up toxicity levels.
And you're like a zombie on it.
Yeah, that's what a lot of you know, drugs do. Is a person they may function a little better, but they feel kind of like a zombie, and they don't like that. So then they're like, what else can I do? And I don't have any experience or any real knowledge about the lithium orotate. I just know that it's an alkali metal. And you kind of wonder, is it kind of replacing mineral and just kind of helping signals travel through it better? And you wonder if that might be what it's doing. And if it is, you could do that with actual minerals. And that we see that work a lot with people too. And that may be why magnesium is helping her. You know, a lot of low blood pressure people seem to benefit well from magnesium, but magnesium is very pro-catabolic, so if you take too much, yeah, it's going to be butt soup.
Mm-hmm.
So, because an overly catabolic state, the body will send too much water to the colon and wet butt.
Mm. Wet butt symptom?
Yeah, wet butt symptom. What else does she have in there?
She's done. Oh, she, yeah, that was it.
Okay.
All right. You're done, Janet.
Way to go. Good job.
All right, the last one, Amber from Clare, Michigan.
Let's say this too. You know, we do know Janet from the group, and we know that she doesn't have a gallbladder, and she had lost that. So we know that her digestion is not working well, and she's not able to get a lot of minerals. So it makes sense that she needs these extra minerals to feel better. So we like to hear that, because that makes sense.
So she should be adding more stuff to make her mineral content, like sea salt and different things like
right,
that.
Right, and she says she's doing pretty well when she does these things, so that helps us, you know, people understand, okay, if I can find ways to raise my minerals, then I may feel
mm-hmm.
better too.
Mm-hmm. Amber from Clara, Michigan. Can situations create the disorder, or is it just biological?
We think it's mostly biological, but yes, life can push you in a situation that...
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you were traumatized or kidnapped or some horrible, horrific thing
happened to you... We talked a lot about stress and all those things.
Yeah, something can probably tweak your brain totally. But, like you said, if it's your body, if you've got your body part down, then it makes it easier to deal with.
Yeah, when they canceled Mr. Belvedere, it was very upsetting to me, and it was...
I think almost everyone became...
Yeah, it can cause a lot of stress.
Alf was very upset.
That helped. That helped. That was helpful.
Yeah. All right. So if you want to learn more, that was it, y'all. There was a lot of questions today. Yeah, right. About bipolar stuff.
That was like three shows long. That was our longest show ever.
There's a lot of mental issues out there that, you know.
People need help. People need to find answers.
And if you want help and you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. Or you can go to Will's website, mybodyofknowledge.net, or check him out on Facebook as well, and join our group or support group. And
And if you learn something on the podcast, do a review for us on iTunes, because that helps, you know, spread the word so more people can find answers.
And if you hate us, don't tell anyone.
Then just shut up.
Yeah. All right. Good until advice. Next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. 'Cause I know a place where the sun